The big question, can a turnaround in car making create new jobs?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good day to you from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. This morning, Ford reported its sixth straight quarterly profit. The company says new cars, such as the Fiesta and the Edge, helped offset slower global sales. At the same time, the company says it's going to hire 1,200 new workers in Michigan if that state approves tax incentives. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is with us live from Washington with the latest. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Steve.
Where are these new jobs coming from?
Well, they're a result of those state tax incentives that you mentioned. Ford is apparently going to get $400 million in tax relief from Michigan, and the Michigan Economic Development Corporation is scheduled to announce these tax breaks later today. Ford says that's incentive enough for it to spend $850 million upgrading at least four plants in Michigan. Now, Ford announced this yesterday. We are expecting to hear from GM and Chrysler later today.
GM and Chrysler. All right. So will those two also get tax incentives from the state?
They are expected to. And again, we'll know more later today after the state makes its announcement. But the Detroit News is reporting that Chrysler has plans to invest $1 billion in equipment and retooling. And the paper says GM is expected to announce an investment of $152 million.
Nancy, is this serious money? I mean, how big are all these announcements?
Well, it seems pretty big to me, but I was wondering that, and I'm not an expert. So I called Jerry Myers. He's a professor at the University of Michigan and the former CEO of American Motors. And he says this is good news, but don't pop the champagne corks just yet.
The investments are in component plants, not assembly plants, to a great extent. I think it's more business as usual, kind of pulled together and looks bigger than the meaning really is.
And Steve Myers says he'll really start celebrating if the automakers actually open new assembly plants.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reporting from Washington. Nancy, thanks.
You're welcome.
Afghanistan's President Hamid Karzai has admitted government officials have received bags of cash from Iran. Literally, bags of cash. Washington says it remains suspicious of the aid, but can bags of money really be called international aid? From Cairo, the BBC's John Lyon reports.
What's wrong with handing over bags of cash? On the face of it, nothing at all. Following the US-led invasion of Iraq, the United States famously sent $12 billion in cash to Iraq. The money, shrink-wrapped bundles of $100 bills, was loaded on pallets and flown in on C-130 military transports. In the case of Afghanistan, it's more a question of who gave the money, to whom, for what. President Karzai says it was used to maintain the presidential palace and run his office.
We are grateful for the Iranian help in this regard. The United States is doing the same thing. They are providing cash to some of our offices. If you'd like to have the details, we'll give you that too.
The problem for Washington is that it's very uneasy about increasing Iranian influence in Afghanistan. It's one thing to see Iran building roads and schools in the west of Afghanistan, as it is quite openly. But this looked to Washington like a rather more underhand way, literally, to buy political influence. In Cairo, I'm the BBC's John Lyon for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are lower. Investors worried about European earnings reports showed profits, but doubts about the future. Wall Street yesterday, stocks had a few modest gains. Dow added 31 points, about a quarter of a percent, to end the day at 11,164.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE. By Reputation Defender, monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com. And by Ally Bank, committed to customer service. At AllyBank.com, visitors can chat online with a customer care associate 24/7.
BP's new CEO, Bob Dudley, told British business leaders in London that this year's oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico was blown out of proportion by the media. And Dudley blamed other oil companies as well for taking advantage of BP's bad press. Oil is today's topic with the Marketplace Globalist Quiz, something we do every so often to test our knowledge of public affairs. And Stefan Richter is publisher and editor-in-chief of TheGlobalist.com. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning. I take it you're ready.
I am ready. Give it to me.
All right. So what percentage of global oil reserves is located in the United States?
Ooh.
Is it 20%, around 10%, around 8%? Or just 2%.
We have Alaska, so I think that helps
Saint Sarah
the situation.
No more.
Yeah, I think that helps the situation. So maybe it's not 2%. Maybe it's 8%.
8% is a good guess. It has nothing to do with the existing level of U.S. oil reserves, though. But you know, we're still a big oil producer. That's forgotten. We're the third largest in the world, and we do provide 8.5% of the world's oil. But alas, it's not Alaska. It's not 8%.
What about, all right, so I'll say the next answer that I had, 10%.
10% is what the Europeans and Eurasia have. And by the way, China consumes 10% of oil. So, you know, that's the U.S. 20%. So I'll rule out the 20% answer for you right here and now.
Let's see. The process of elimination here would mean 2%.
2%. And that is, of course, quite scary if you look at all of our environmental policies. We just have very few reserves, so that would speak for having smarter energy policies so that we don't depend as a giant who consumes 20% of the world's oil by just having 2% of its reserves. That's a quite terrible mismatch for our longer-term future.
Stefan Richter, we thank you for your time this morning and for the education.
All righty.
And for more insights, check out theglobalist.com. And finally, Italian unions are fuming over comments made by Fiat CEO Sergio Marchionne. The auto exec recently said Italian labor inefficiency means the company could do much better if it were not operating in Italy. Unions and government officials say Fiat's forgetting something. The Italian taxpayers helped the company through the economic downturn by giving it a little something. And they say they're just a little disappointed by the comments. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The future of the job market can be tough to predict, but the experts do agree on one thing: the skills the next generation is going to need to be successful.
This is becoming a borderless global workplace. Children born today will spend part of their lives abroad if they are successful professionals in the same way their parents moved to different states.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the job market of tomorrow, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.